بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين وصلى السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Can I get everyone to recite Surah Fatiha and give the niyat to Imam Zaman? First, I'd like to congratulate you all on the birthday of Imam Askari of the Islam. Imam Askari was born in 232 after Hijra. The Hijri calendar begins from the migration of the Prophet to Medina. So this is about a little bit over 200, around 220 years, 227 years after. And there's some differences in the dating. So there's a little bit of dispute amongst historians on his birthday, but this seems to be the correct version. And Imam Askari died from poisoning in 260 after Hijra. His imamate was only for a brief time. He was only, after the death of Imam Hadi, was only for about 6 years. Very brief time. Very brief time that Imam Askari was having his imamate. As you know, his father was Imam Hadi, alayhi salam, and his mother's name was Sausan. This is translated sometimes as Suzanne. And she was the best of the women in chastity and piety. She's a very good, pious woman. Imam Hadi had died when Imam Askari was 22 years old. So Imam Askari had died around the age of 28, which is very young, if you think about it. Some of the titles of Imam Askari are Al-Khalis, the pure. It's like they have the Mukhlisin, the ones that Shaitan can't touch, the pure. Al-Hadi, the guide. Az-Zaki, the pure, chaste, the righteous. As-Samad, the silent, because he was silent and only spoke wisdom, knowledge, and remembrance, dhikr of Allah. Imam Hassan ibn Ali al-Askari is known as al-Askari because, which actually means the army, because they had confined him into a small a military garrison, like a military town. And that's where the Abbasids had kept all their Turkish military soldiers. Shows you kind of how scared they were of the Ahlul Bayt and the Imams, that they had to keep them surrounded in an entire city of soldiers. It's actually quite amazing. So this is where they kept the Turkish troops, and this shows that they were quite scared of the real Islam. As we can see, this testifies to that fact that their fear of the coming savior of Imam Zaman, Aja'ala Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. And their fear of the pure Islam taught by the Masumini, alayhim salam. Once people realize the pure Islam, they realize that it is a beautiful message. That is a victory religion, that is a comprehensive religion, that it has something to say about every area of life. It is in accordance with our nature, in accordance with human creation. So they find that it advocates this kind of lifestyle, this kind of coexistence with other people and tolerance as well, that it advocates high spirituality, so moral virtues, There's no corrupt society when people follow a proper Islamic way of life. Good social relations for all humanity. And Imam, this is in accordance with Imam Ali saying, you may have heard it, that mankind is either our brother, your brother in humanity, or like you, our brother in faith, or like you in humanity. It's because he's either a believer like you, either a Muslim like you, or he's at least sharing in some kind of humanity. So this means that when we have a correct Islamic lifestyle, this means that when we have our own correct Islamic lifestyle, it will teach us coexistence and tolerance. It will teach us respect of other people, unity, neighborliness. These are essential elements in keeping an Islamic identity. And once we lose that Islamic identity, we try to fill it with something else, and we become something not Islamic. So it's very important to keep that Islamic identity. And this is in the real sense of the literal definition of what a Muslim is, submission to Allah's will and command. It's a big theological lesson on what a Muslim is, so I won't get into it. And so these Abbasids were not like this. They feared the Imam. They feared people like Imam Askari, alayhi salam. And even when the Mongols invaded, they actually invaded because they've seen some merchants traveling back and forth who were Muslims, and they had thought, maybe this, what is this religion? What is this beautiful religion that we're seeing? So they sent some delegation to the Abbasids, and the Abbasids, not being proper representatives of Islam, they had humiliated and hurt these delegation. This ended up in a result of the Mongols invading and a lot of innocent people being hurt and killed. And this is a result of not actually representing Islam properly, not having that real Islamic lifestyle that we have seen in the lives of the A'imma and so on. So some historians make mention that one day a man passed by Imam Askari when he was a child. The man seen him while he was with other children, and he was crying. The man had assumed that the young Imam Askari, alayhi salam, was crying over toys and not being able to partake in the playing with the other children. That's something that we may think when we see a child crying, separated from the other children, or maybe got hurt or something. So the man said to the young Imam Askari that he would go buy him whatever it is, buy him the toys so he could partake in the playing. The young Imam Askari said, no, we have not been created for play. This young boy, you know, we're gonna say mashallah, that's such a young boy, you know, as we see in our imams, we'd like to see this in our own youth, but we'd have to say that this is quite amazing to see. The man asked him, then what were we created for? The Imam said that we were created for knowledge and worship. For knowledge and ibadat. The man asked the child, where did you got this from? Such a big wisdom, such a high knowledge that you're saying to me as a little child, where did you get it from? This is something very common to me, among our Imams. So the young Imam Askari said, from the saying of Allah, what did you then think that we had created you in vain? What is this life? Is it just meaningless and has no purpose? So the man was astonished, the man was surprised and confused. He then said, what has happened with you that you're still an innocent little child and you talk like this? So the young Imam said, be away from me. I have seen my mother set fire to large pieces of wood. But fire is not lit except with tiny pieces, with little pieces. And I fear that I shall be from the pieces of the firewood of hell. Ya subhanAllah, this young imam has such an awareness of Allah that even as someone who is all children, you know, they don't have accounts being written yet. But he recognizes this kind of maslaha going on and this kind of awareness of love for Allah even as a little child. He fears Allah even while he is a little child. We have another story that I wanted to talk about, to share a little bit more about Imam Asghari in his later life. That's something from his earlier days. The other story is once there was a severe drought in Samarra. You guys know Samarra is in Iraq. And Mu'tamid, the tyrant caliph of the Abbasids, ordered the people to organize the prayer for the rain. For 3 days, the people went out doing this prayer for the rain outside the city. No clouds appeared, no rain fell for 3 days. On the fourth day, some Christian monks took the opportunity to go out and take hold of this to try to sway the people. So on the fourth day, the Christian high priest went out to the desert and prayed for rain. Heavy rain started to fall. And the same thing was repeated on the next day, so on the fifth day. Heavy rain was falling. The Muslims were confused, and doubt started to enter in onto their minds. They were very confused. They started to wonder about Islam being correct or Christianity. So Mu'tamid, the caliph of the Abbasids, he realized the danger and ordered that the imam be taken out of prison. That Imam Asghari be taken out of prison. You know, look at this tyrant. He knows that the imam is not just a political type. He's not worried about politics. He knows that he is actually the one who knows the correct Islam. Yet he has to keep him in a prison. So when he has no other hope, when he's worried about losing his position because of the sway of the people following Christianity, he knows where to go. He knows who to ask. He goes and gets the imam from prison. So he brought Imam Asghari out, and after explaining his problem, the caliph asked the Shia imam to rescue them. The imam said, ask the Christians to come out and the monks to go out to the desert the next day. The tyrant said, enough rain has come. This Abbasi tyrant said, enough rain has come. Well, so why should we do this? Why should we have them come out again? The imam said, so that I may get rid of this doubt on the people. Bring him out. So the caliph issued the order, and the priest and the monks gathered in the desert, and the imam and the Muslims all were present there. Everyone came. The Christians lifted their hands and prayed for rain. The sky became cloudy, and the rain started to fall. The imam Asghari pointed at one of the monks and ordered that what was in his hand be taken. So the soldiers went up and they got what was in his hand and they brought it to the imam. The imam took it. It was a bone of human. It was a human bone. And the imam wrapped it in a cloth and took it. The imam placed that bone in a cloth and covered it. He asked the priest and the monks to pray again. Go out and pray again without this bone. So they went out and prayed again. No rain came. Not a cloud in the sky, not a drop of water fell. Not even a drizzle. Everyone was surprised at this. Everybody was wondering why. The caliph inquired of the imam what the bone was. The imam said, it is the bone of a prophet. They had dug it up out of the grave, and with the bones of the prophet, when they come out under the sky, under the grave, the rain falls. The rain falls. So the caliph's people, they examined this, and they seen that, and they checked it out, investigated everything, and seen that this was the truth. This is where they got the bone from. And this, we see in history, how Imam Askari had saved the community at that time, how those corrupt Abbasids had known the real position of Imam Askari and of Ahlul Bayt, and how they used it as well. It's a fact in history that testifies to it. So after these two stories, I wanted to narrate two riwayat. We don't have many riwayat, many narrations from Imam Askari, because for one, his period of imamate was only for 6 years. Two, he was kept inside this big military garrison, and very few people actually had the chance to narrate from him. So we have very little narrations. If you go and check, there's quite an old book called Tuhaf al-Ukul. You'll find that the section of Imam Askari is not as thick as the section for Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So Imam Askari alayhi salam said, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim is as near to the great name as the iris of the white to the eye. Of the iris to the white of the eye. This basmala is a phrase that we use for this Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Is such a great phrase that it has been mentioned with high emphasis in Islam. There are many hadith, many riwayat about this Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Not only that, but we may note that this phrase starts every single surah in the Holy Quran except Surah 9, Surah Tawbah. So there's a high emphasis even in Kitab Allah, even in the Book of Allah, on this phrase. So why is Imam calling attention to this? For one, we can look at Rahman. Rahman refers to the Rahmat of Allah, the mercy of Allah. It is that mercy that is extensive and wide. It is that mercy that extends to everything. The vast mercy that reaches everything that Allah has created. Allah gives air to breathe. He gives vegetation to the earth, water, ability, and even time to seek out guidance. He allows even the most tiny insect to acquire its livelihood. He's well acquainted with it. He bestowed humans with intellectual abilities, an ability to make right choices, and guidance to avoid the wrong choices. And he has created a world and surrounded it with that's suitable for humanity in a way that we should be thankful. It is a cause for much shukr, much thanks to Allah being in such a suitable world. Even though it has some difficulty, that difficulty has a good to it too. But it's very suitable. If we think about it, even the taste of the foods are perfect for our suitability, just as an example. So he has given so much to every creation, even people who are unaware of his exalted being, he still gives them air to breathe. They have a specific time to live. They have livelihood. This is a rahmah, a mercy that reaches everything. So the Rahim, however, in this Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, refers to a specific kind of mercy that he gives to the believers. A believer is somebody who, not just somebody who has a belief, or like some of these European philosophers like Kierkegaard, he said that faith was a leap into the irrational. It's not like that. Belief is a kind of affirmed intellectual kind of belief, a reality that enters the heart and produces and affects our actions. It impacts us. When we have that happening, we can say we are mu'min or mu'minat. We're believers. So it's very important, this kind of special mercy, this rahim that it refers to, that Allah's sifat refers to, is for those people. Those people who the understanding of Allah, the exalted, of the nubuwwah, the imams, it has affected their lives. It's affected what they do, what they say, even what they think on their own free will. Another hadith, a riwayah, is Imam Askari alayhi salam said, the most pious of people is he who stops at suspicious matters. The best worshipper is he who performs the obligatory religious duties. The most abstinent, zahid, the most abstinent of people is he who abandons the haram, the unlawful. And the most hardworking of people is he who deserts the sins. This is spirituality. This is the spirituality that people seek. Many people we see have formed spiritual groups that have stripped away religion from them and secularized spirituality. They won't get nowhere with that. The spirituality is right here. This is the basis of spiritual progress in this hadith. Seeking spirituality is something embedded in our nature, you know. So it's something we want. We want to know the truth, we want to get away from falsehood, and we want to realize Allah the Exalted. So it's something normal that all sorts of people want to attain that kind of level of purity and realization. But real spirituality is through obedience to Allah and knowing Allah. Adornment of high morality. Removal of vices and cessation of sins and transgressions and removal of the dirtiness on the soul. So let's look here quick before I finish on these four things Imam Askari has advised us. First, the most pious of people is he who stops at suspicious matters. In Maktab Ahlul Bayt, in the school of Ahlul Bayt, it teaches us that when we face a situation that is haram, we stay away from it. When we face something that is wajib, obligatory to do, we do it. We clearly do it. But when we face a doubtful situation, I'm not talking about doubt and something that's permissible, you know, to avoid, but a doubtful situation on if it's haram or if it's permissible, the school of Ahlul Bayt teaches us to avoid this kind of situation, to avoid and take precaution and remove ourselves from anything that may be a cause of us doing a haram, doing something forbidden. This is in line with the security of humanity. So we see in this advice that the most pious of people, the one who has most taqwa, the most God-conscious of people, is the person, is the one who takes precaution and keeps themselves away from haram, or even the prerequisites to haram. Because in usul fiqh, we have things that if there's a prerequisite to haram, it's haram also. So it may not look haram, but since it leads to haram, it becomes haram. So, the most pious of the person is the one who avoids such things. This is because taqwa is a kind of awareness of Allah in one's actions, sayings, and produced thoughts. And it actually has two levels. One level is where when we know that sin will occur, or sin may occur, we avoid the whole situation completely. The another is when one is actually faced with a situation where they may sin and has the opportunity to do so. They avoid that situation entirely in that moment. And then we have, from this hadith, a third level, taking precaution above that. This is spirituality. This is being spiritually precautious and having spiritual taqwa. The second part is the best of worshippers is he who performs the obligatory religious affairs duly. That is the best abid, the best worshipper, is the one who does the wajib. It's simple, it's not complex. We just do what is wajib. This is what I mean, the foundation of spiritual progress. In fact, leaving any wajib on purpose is a major sin. All major sins are promised. The reason we classify them as major sins is because they have a promise of hellfire on the day of judgment. So when we say that leaving anything that is wajib on purpose, it's a major sin. It's a major sin. So the best worshipper is the one who does his wajib. The third is the most abstinent. This is that irfani kind of phrase, that zahid that they say. The most abstinent of people is the one who abandons the haram. The world's not evil like some people have claimed. It's how we use it, what we do with it. So the most zahid of people is the one who does zuhud. The most zahid is not the one who locks himself in a cloister like the monks, or shuns the world because he thinks it's evil. No, it is the one who abandons doing haram. It's simple. The spirituality is very simple. It's hard to implement, maybe, for some. It may take quite difficulty. But it's simple. The instructions is very clear. It's very clear. The fourth is the most hardworking of people is he who deserts the sins. The most hardworking of people is he who deserts the sins. It is sometimes that it takes effort to uproot vices from the soul and sins from one's life. And the best deed, according to a riwayat, is the most difficult of deeds. One must be hardworking and determined to leave sins. They must actualize determination. They must set their goals high and work hard. So, in conclusion, we can see that on the wiladat of Imam Asghari alayhi salam, that although we find very little riwayat, very little narrations, he has left us a treasure of spiritual advice. These are only two riwayat I mentioned. There's several pages in that book alone that I mentioned to Afolkul. Several pages at least. He's left us a treasure of spiritual advice. Hence it is our honor here to celebrate the birth of the Holy Imam Asghari. And we ask Allah to support us all to follow the way of Ahlul Bayt and place us as those real lovers of himself and his chosen pure Masumin alayhum salam, and place us in the ranks of their true followers. Wa akhiru dawahum and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.